From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. NASA shocked the world of astronomy last month by announcing it would let the Hubble Space Telescope die a slow death in orbit. NASA canceled a space shuttle mission that would have extended its life beyond 2006. The decision is a particular blow to the scientists and engineers at the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore. That's Hubble's nerve center here on Earth. As NPR's Richard Harris reports, the staff there aren't giving up on their beloved observatory.
It looks like an ordinary office building, but the tan brick structure behind Johns Hopkins University is actually the center of the universe for some of the world's top astronomers. Inside, there's a hint of that. An 8-foot-tall model of the telescope dangles in the lobby. And, of course, there are fabulous pictures of swirling galaxies just about everywhere.
Yeah, you know, we get Girl Scout troops all the time that say, you know, could we have a tour of your building? And they think that it should look like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise everywhere, right?
Astronomer Bruce Margon goes to the only place that comes close, a glassed-in control room outfitted with computer terminals, kind of a scaled-down version of Mission Control in Houston.
Commands are actually sent to Hubble from this room. Hubble is orbiting 350 miles over our head now, circling the Earth once every 90 minutes.
The telescope has been up in that orbit since 1990, and during that time it has solved some of the great mysteries of astronomy and discovered new ones. Astronomers used Hubble to determine the age of the universe. They also discovered a mysterious force out there in the cosmos called dark energy, which permeates space and could determine the fate of our universe. Margon can't help marvel that he's living during a special time in human existence.
Presumably, since the first time the caveman stood up and walked out of the cave and looked up, everyone has wondered, how old is the universe? How did the universe begin? What is the universe made of? Ours is the very first generation that can actually measure answers to these fundamental questions. And when you explain that to people, they think about that for a minute and say, that's kind of neat.
Margon and other scientists at the Institute are especially privileged. They're guardians of the most famous telescope since Galileo's historic instrument. So real shock set in at the Institute when Director Steve Beckwith called an all-hands meeting on Friday, January 16th at about 3 in the afternoon. The moment was recorded for posterity.
Thank you all for coming. You don't want to hear what I have to say, and I don't really want to say it, but what I'm going to tell you is what I've learned as recently as about an hour and a half ago, about the time to drive up from Goddard.
Beckwith told the crowd that NASA had decided to cancel a mission to Hubble that would have dramatically improved its instruments and extended its life. NASA cited safety and logistics as the reasons. The space agency found it difficult to satisfy new safety rules after the Columbia shuttle accident. And then when President Bush called for retiring the space shuttles as soon as possible, that made the Hubble mission even harder for NASA to plan. Beckwith is still running on nervous energy a month after a day now known as Black Friday.
My stomach sank. That's the kind of white knuckle kind of belly gripping you just don't want to hear about.
Still, Beckwith seems like a salesman who simply won't take no for an answer. He's hoping to play on the fact that Hubble has found a special place in the public heart and imagination, and that NASA still needs all the public support it can get.
One factor, very simply, is that the story of Hubble is a very human story. It was launched with a flawed mirror. We sent 7 astronauts up in a heroic effort, and they fixed it. They recovered it. And since then, Hubble has dominated astronomy as the world's most powerful telescope. So that's a story of a comeback kid.
Hubble has also produced images that have become cultural icons. The billowing Towers of Creation, the Hourglass Nebula, and a composite photo of the Helix Nebula that some call the Eye of God. And thanks to ready access to these images on the internet, Beckwith says Hubble has become the people's telescope. Downstairs in the cafeteria, astronomers are picking at their food. Mario Livio and Adam Reese commiserate about the impending loss of a telescope still in its prime.
Last year we found the 7 most distant supernovae known and have new results on dark energy, the deepest view of the universe. These are pushing the envelope sort of measurements, and we're doing them, this year.
To have all of that lost, of course, is very, very sad.
Livio doesn't accept NASA's assertion that it's all about astronaut safety. He says the shuttle will presumably be safer than ever after the current round of upgrades, and fixing Hubble requires just one mission compared with 20 to 30 missions to complete and operate the space station.
No one with a scientific background will be able to tell you that 20 missions to station are less risky than the one mission to Hubble.
And Adam Riess, a rising star in the world of astrophysics, agrees that risk is inherent in space travel.
We are planning at some point to go to the moon and Mars, and I don't think, you know, anybody could estimate that those will be missions without risk, but we think those are very important.
The question is what benefit you get in exchange for the risk. Riess sees plenty of benefit in fixing Hubble.
I can say that Hubble is tremendously valuable right now. I mean, the research that we do on dark energy can't be addressed with any other observatory that's available now or is planned for the next 10 years. Many fundamental questions can only be addressed by Hubble right now, and it's up there.
Riess has built his young career around the study of dark energy. Without Hubble, that career could stagnate for a decade. Especially frustrating is that Hubble's vision would improve by a factor of 10 if astronauts could install $200 million worth of new equipment that's already built. That's what really gets to Bruce Margon.
All good things come to an end, that's for sure. And so the reason that this is particularly painful is we were ready to do the very best science that Hubble could ever do with these two new instruments. They're all constructed, they're paid for, they work, they were ready to go. That's a little different than saying, oh, well, we were winding down in our elder years and so on. It is really snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Margon says some people are trying hard to figure out whether a robot could be rocketed up to Hubble to upgrade the instruments and install new batteries and gyroscopes. Without that replacement mission, the batteries will likely fail in the next 3 years, and Hubble will die. There's also a lot of talk about developing clever ways to squeeze the most out of Hubble in the next few years before the batteries go dead. Margon says that alone would be an interesting challenge.
It's a wonderful puzzle, and if we're given lemons, we'll make lemonade. If that's the problem we have to solve, that's the problem we'll solve, and we'll tackle it with relish.
Whether it's denial or unbounded optimism, astronomers here still hope NASA will relent. They're encouraged by a stream of editorials and leading papers calling for a Hubble repair mission, and they're hopeful that Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski will keep up the fight to make sure Baltimore remains a top city for astronomy. There's even an independent Save the Hubble website. So Director Steve Beckwith hasn't given up hope.
Many people here still pray for a miracle.
But so far, NASA and the White House have been unmoved. Richard Harris, NPR News.